How many of you believe in prayer? Raise your hand. That's pretty much everybody. Now let me ask you this again. How many of you really, really believe in prayer? Raise your hand. Very good. Very good. I want to do a review with you from last week. If you're joining us online today, we're in the book of Jonah. We're doing a kind of verse-by-verse study through the book of Jonah, and I called it the big fish story because I like big fish and I like a good story, but I really believe literally in the book of Jonah. So just so you know, you're in a church that actually believes the Bible, not just some parts, the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation. That's one of our values that we value the Most High. How do you know what to do and how to guide your life if you don't believe the Word of God? And that's kind of where we come from, so just so you know. And if you're joining us online and you're drinking coffee and you're chilling out, I just want you, and you're in Florida, shout out to Mom and Dad. Hey, Mom and Dad. If you're in Canada, it's sunny and 75 outside, and these people just have the nicest tan that they've ever had in their lives. Just so you know. Review from last week, chapter 1. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. How many of you have been offered a ride by the devil before? I have a lot. And if you remember, we left Jonah alone in the sea. Back last week, poor old Jonah was still in the sea. S-E-A-C. And fortunately, I've been out on some pretty big boats, pretty far out, and I can't imagine that anyone would ever be comfortable in that moment. But we were ready for verse 17 in Jonah. So if you get your Bibles, verse 17 of chapter 1 of Jonah, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's a long time. 72 hours. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Now this is a turning point in Jonah's life. This is, if you remember, the pagan sailors were praying to their gods, and what was Jonah doing? He was in the bottom of the ship, sleeping complacently. But he wasn't praying. In fact, the captain of the ship said, "Hey, what are you doing? Everybody else is praying. The ship's going to capsize, but you are sleeping. Get out on deck with everybody else." But we're never told that Jonah prayed. But here, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, the God, from the belly of the fish. Now, if you were going to title the chapters of Jonah, Jonah 1 would be Jonah Runs, and Jonah 2 would be Jonah Prays. In chapter 1, verse 17, the first part of that, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Think about this story, meditated, kind of reflected. I don't know that if a big fish swallowed me, a big fish swallowed you, that would be really good news. I don't know that would be better than just being out in the sea. If I were out in the sea, floating, trying to maintain myself, and a big fish came, I would not say to myself, "Well, that's good news. Come and swallow me. That's what I want." Wouldn't a big fish swallowing you be a problem? I think it would for me. The Lord works in mysterious ways, I'm just saying. Sometimes what we call a problem is what God calls provision. God called the big fish to save Jonah. I don't know if you've had moments in your life where you've had a big problem and you think the worst person in the world comes and tries to help you? Ever been there? I have. I'm thinking, this is not helping God. I'm praying to God. This is not working. I don't get your perspective on this situation. I don't. But understand this. God doesn't always give us what we want, but God gives us what we need. And in his way of providing for us isn't always the way we think it ought to go, but he's taking care of us. And I just want you to step back in this story and think about this. Ask yourself this question. What do we need most? Say to yourself, ask yourself, what do I need most? Repeat after me. What do I need most? And the answer is, I need a deeper, closer relationship with Jesus, a deeper, closer relationship with God. And God is going to do whatever it takes to bring me into that relationship. And for Jonah, it was to be in a belly of a fish. In verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Now that's crazy. But I have been in the belly of the fish metaphorically before, and maybe you have as well, where you're there and you're praying in such a way because you are desperate for God. And I can't imagine being in the belly of a fish. I don't know if it had a blowhole and so Jonah could breathe. I don't know if it swam way deep in the Mediterranean Sea or at a surface level was Jonah in the belly. But can you imagine? And the whole experience of being in the belly, was there acid in the belly of the fish that would digest Jonah? And so was it a painful experience? I don't know. I can't. I try to imagine this. I just can't. But recognize this. Just because Jonah was helpless doesn't mean that he was hopeless. See, God was with Jonah in the belly of the fish. And Jonah has been with me in the belly of the fish in my life. Trauma and loss, grief, fear, anxiety, bad medical reports, whatever they have been, he has been there in the belly. Relationally, in difficult times, God has been there. Now understand this. Jonah was in trouble. I can't imagine being in a situation where it was really hard to breathe, I'm guessing that it was really hard to breathe in the jelly of the, in the belly of the fish. Maybe he felt like jelly. I don't know. It would have been scary. But how about you? In your times of trouble, tragedy, pain, and loss, in suffering, God is there. James, the brother of Jesus, in his book, James, in chapter 5, verse 13, he asks, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Christian, if you're a believer in God, prayer should be like breathing. As we go throughout our day, our relationship with God, our Father, who loves you, who is for you, who is encouraging you through his Spirit, he is present with you. He's waiting for you to talk to him. And I got to tell you, sometimes we take that for granted. We don't realize how good a God we have, how big a God, how infinite he is. We cannot imagine him, and yet he hears our prayers. He hears your prayer. Some people look at me because they think I'm the resident witch doctor wherever I am. They do. That's how they look at me as a pastor. And so oftentimes I will go places they'll ask me to pray. And I've been on boards and they want a professional prayer to pray. And I do a pretty good job of praying, by the way, out loud. I can pray with the best. I mean, I really can. But that's not what it's all about. I mean, you know, if you wanted me to use big words in a form of prayer, I can do it well. But that's not what it's about. And so sometimes I was on a board and I said yes one time, so I was a professional prayer for the next 6 years. So the next time I got on that board, and they're asking and wanting me to be back on that board again, and I just I'm tired of boards. Anyway, so the next time I just said, they asked me in front of all the board and everyone, Chris, will you pray? No. Dead silence. You know anything about me? I'm a disruptor by nature. I am. That's my role in most situations, disrupting. And I know it, and I know that I'm obnoxious, and sometimes I can be a little bit of a jerk on things when things I think are things are wrong. I don't need an amen right now. But I know it's true. And I'm not bragging. That's just how I've been. That's my role. That's what God has called me to do, and that's what I do. And so sometimes I pray and sometimes I don't, because I think they ought to pray. And I had a board member that was very influential, has a lot of power and a lot of money, said, you know, you pray really well. I said, well, I know, thank you. And she said, I think you ought to pray. And I said, I'm not doing that, because I think you need to pray. And we need to see your life and your light shine and see whether you really have a relationship with God. Folks, I'm saying all this because it's time to pray. It's time to pray. If you're a Christian, you love Jesus, and you don't have a prayer life, I'm wondering about you. I'm wondering about your relationship, because we are connected to a holy God. We just sang about it. We know him. And you can know him, and he cares about you, and he's waiting to have that conversation and relationship with you. So in saying all that, the question is, what did Jonah pray, and what should we pray? I want you to see what Jonah prayed. Jonah, verse 2, chapter 2, he says, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. Now, you may not know what Sheol is, but Sheol is the Old Testament hell. And I can't imagine any closer place to hell than being in the belly of the fish in the deep sea. That's the worst, I think, that it can get. And he says, and I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. This is Jonah in the belly of the well, thinking he was going to get out of that situation, that God was going to deliver him. And the waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down into the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. You might not know or think you know, or you might say it this way, I don't know how to pray. And some of my fellow board members in that board might not know how to pray, or they're not comfortable in praying. But it's as simple as talking to your Heavenly Father. That's the relationship we have. And just telling him what is going on and how you're feeling, and owning that moment. And it's a breath by breath, moment by moment relationship with him. It is a walk with the God of the universe. And that is so wild. No other religion has a God like that, who came in human form, in the flesh, and experienced our life like we are, and can relate to that. He relates to you in a way that we just can't understand and imagine. When Jonah was in trouble, he prayed the word of God. He prayed the word of God. If you look at what he prayed the Psalms, which he knew, which was the hymn of the Israelites. And understand this, that you have to know the word of God to pray the word of God. You just got to know it. And what I find fascinating is as I preach and we believe the Bible, that's who we are, that more of you and more of you get into the Word of God. You're listening to it on YouVersion, you're reading it on YouVersion or your favorite Bible app, and you're getting to know God in a way that you've never known before. And that's so exciting to me as your pastor, because it is, you got to know Him, and how you get to know Him is you find more about Him. But it's not about the information. It's all about the relationship, but you have to know someone well enough to know them. I know my wife very well. I know when she's talking that sometimes she's saying things that she probably will not do. Okay? But I know her, and so I listen and I go along with her. Now, when I was a younger man, I would challenge her and say, well, you're not going to do that. I was pretty stupid. But I know her, and we can know God in such a way, intimately, personally, and to know Him. Again, I want to say, it's time to pray, to get to know Him, to have that walk with Him, to abide in Him, like we talked about a few weeks ago, in the vine and the branch being connected. And Jonah cried out to the Lord, and the Lord listened to his cry. God hears your prayers. Jonah prayed in verse 1, and we don't see a miracle until verse 10 in this passage. But notice in verse 9, he says, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I think in that moment, Jonah was saying, okay, God, if you send me to Nineveh, I will go. I will do what you told me to do, even though I ran away from it. And Jonah prays this prayer from the belly of the big fish. From the belly of the big fish. And I believe probably all of us have prayed from the belly of the big fish before. Now, a long time ago, in a land far away, before we had our first child, my wife has epilepsy and she has seizures. And they had to take her off certain medications for our firstborn child, who's in here with us today, who's older than 30 now. So it's been a while. But I was out fishing. I love to fish. Had a bass boat. We were in Washington, Indiana, about 7 miles from Glendale. And often I would get up before daylight and be on the water by daylight, and I would be fishing. And I would come home, and she was probably 8 months pregnant. And so we were talking as I was getting ready to take a shower, and I was in the shower, and I hear this flopping, and she was having a seizure during the pregnancy. Well, in that moment, I was yelling, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, which is a prayer to the Lord that God hears. And I got her up after the seizure was over and got her in the car. We were heading to the hospital to find out if we lost the baby or not. This was huge. I was upset. I mean, I was just torn up. And we were about halfway there, and Stacy kind of comes to a little bit, and she says, where are we going? I said, you had a seizure, and we're going to the hospital. Calmly like that, like a man of God would. So we get in the hospital, get in the ER, and so I got to call somebody. So I'm calling my parents, and I'm saying, and this is in tears, I'm saying, you know, Stacy's in the emergency room, please pray. And we may have lost the baby. And I cried. I mean, I hung up before I could even finish the sentence. And my parents were like, what happened? You know? So I had to call them back when I could get composure again. And so maybe you've had some belly in the belly of the big fish moments in your life where God has seen you through it. I want you to know that all of us have moments like that. But notice what Jonah does in this moment. He praises before the miracle, before God answers the prayer. He puts his faith and his trust, and he believes that God is going to take care of this situation some way, according to God's will. It's easy to praise God after the miracle, but how hard is it to praise him in the storm or in the belly of a big fish? We are called to praise God in faith for what he's going to do. God still does that. What Jonah is doing is praising God before provision, before he provides. And then Jonah goes on. He says, "What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to follow through on this. What I have vowed, what I have promised, I will make good." He's going to follow through. He's not going to forget about it. But please notice, Jonah didn't make excuses. He made it right. He did what he said. Now, verse 10 cracks me up. Every time I think about it, I wish I would have been on the beach when this occurs. And the Lord spoke to Jonah, or Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Now, I would have loved to have been on the beach that day. When Jonah came, the big fish spit him out, and he was walking up on the beach. I would have loved to have said, "Hey, bad day, huh?" I guess the fish got you. You didn't get the fish that day. What a fish story you could tell. I just can't imagine. Can you? But in that situation, Jonah kept praying. He just kept praying. While you're praying, while you're waiting, God is still working. Know that. While you're praying, God is working. It doesn't happen like that. I think that's where we grow in character in our relationship with God. I don't know if you've ever had a prayer list. I've had prayer lists over the years, and some things don't get answered fast, but you persist in prayer, but eventually it happens. I would challenge you, I'd encourage you to try that. I don't do it all the time. I'm not doing it right now, but I have. Some are 5 and 10 years until it happens. It's cool to date it and to see what God does. Some things I know I'm praying for may not occur in my lifetime, but I think God will still answer those prayers. I pray for future generations that they will know the Lord. And I think you'll answer that. There's some incredible things happening in our church right now. And I know this is bragging, but it's in the Lord. You know, I have people contacting me about being baptized and when we're going to do it. It's so often that I have to say, "Now listen, this is out of the ordinary, and I'm not normally here on this night, and I know I'm not thinking about that, and I'll program that into my phone, but you please text me a couple times during that day so I'll stay focused and on track," because my mind just, sometimes I get lost in what's right in front of me, and I forget things. So, I mean, that's happening. We had what, 6 baptisms this last week, and we have more coming all the time. God is doing a great work, and it's what he's doing through his Spirit. So just understand this. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean God is not working. Just know he is always working. And when it was time, God told the big fish what to do. God controls everything, even big fish. When it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it's not God's time, you can't force it. When I was in my 20s, I thought I controlled my life and my destiny. I really, really did. I had everything planned out until I was 30. And then I hit 30, and guess what? It didn't go according to plan. And I went through a kind of like a midlife crisis at 30. I wasn't where I thought I would be. God wasn't opening the doors I thought he would. I wasn't going into a different type of ministry that I thought I would go, and I was pretty disappointed in God. And I wrestled with it really, really hard. It was another dark night of the soul for me. But I had to realize something. First of all, God is sovereign. Chris is not. That was hard. Number two is, God is in control of my life's timeline. I am not. Number three was, I was exactly where God wanted me to be. And whether or not that was where I thought I was supposed to be, I had to accept God's plan and God's purpose in my life. And when I did that, my life changed. So when it's not God's time, you can't force it. I couldn't make it happen because it wasn't his will. But know this, when it is God's time, you can't stop it. When God moves, and he does, you can't stop the force of what God is doing. It's amazing. It's miraculous. But it's all him. It's all about him. 3 days, three nights in a big fish, 72 hours. I wouldn't want to experience that for 5 minutes. That's like eternity in the belly of the big fish. Why was that so important, 3 days and three nights? Look in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to 40. This is what Jesus said. This is red letters. But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now, if you doubt the veracity, the truthfulness of Jonah, I just want you to know Jesus believed it too. He quotes him. He uses him as an example. And then it goes on, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Purpose of Jonah was to remind us that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming, that he would spend 3 days and three nights. He would be crucified on a cross and resurrected on the third day. That's all about. Jonah said, "Salvation comes from the Lord." He was a prophet of God. He knew God was going to save. When Jonah didn't deserve it, God saved him. When Jonah couldn't save himself, God saved him. It was the grace of God that did all of that. What's fascinating is the Old Testament points to our need for Jesus. There's a red thread about the Messiah from the very beginning, Genesis to Revelation. And it tells the story of Jesus coming and dying, resurrecting, and being with the Lord, or with God, for all eternity. The Old Testament points to our need for Jesus today. But understand this, when we didn't deserve it, God sent Jesus. When we couldn't save ourselves, God sent Jesus. Anyone here like Jonah? I think we all are. And God still used Jonah. The prophet who ran away, who was reluctant, God still used him. God is still working. God's grace is still enough for every one of us, for you, and God will still use you. God's not finished with you. God is working on you. Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal God and Father, we are grateful for the example of Jonah, and Father, for the big fish story. But it's not all about the fish, it's all about you. About your sovereignty, about your will being done, about your grace, about your timing. And Father, we are reminded that you are still working in each one of us. And Father, we just pray just now that you would do your work. Father, for those that are far from you, that have never known you, we pray that they would come to know you. Father, for those that are complacent, or drifting, Father, we pray that you would draw them back and help them in their discouragement, help them in what they're going through. And Father, we're thankful that you're a God that answers prayer on your timetable, not on ours. And Father, we put our faith and our trust in you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.